Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and welcome to the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. This is a space for down-to-earth, honest conversations about what's really going on in your body in your 40s and how to support yourself through it. If you're feeling a bit out of sync, overwhelmed, or just not quite like yourself, you're in the right place. So let's get into today's episode. Hi, and welcome back to the podcast. So today I wanted to talk about something that honestly sounds a little bit boring at first glance. I was boring myself when I was thinking about how to record this episode, because I do really want to talk about it, because it is actually one of the most important and overlooked foundations of health in perimenopause, and that is fiber. So of course, protein is having its moment now, and rightly so. Long may that always continue. Because protein, as we know, if you've listened to my previous episodes or, you've followed other people who talk about the mega importance of protein in midlife specifically, it's really important. And particularly 40 plus, it supports muscle mass, which is something we absolutely have to be focused on. Blood sugar balance, energy, satiety after meals, healthy aging, metabolic health, so many things. All the things I talk about a lot. But in the focus or the rush to prioritize protein, I think fiber has been pushed to the side a little bit. And the reality is we need both. Protein is, of course, I always say, it's the star of the show on our plates, but we can get into that habit. And I've definitely fallen into this trap as well, where we're so focused on protein being the number one thing to support, to make sure we're having enough of, that we can sometimes in a rush, or we just don't have the headspace for it. We think, okay, well, let me just make sure I get my protein in. And if I can't get any vegetables in or good fats or anything else on this meal, it doesn't matter. At least I've got my protein in. And that's completely understandable. Like I said, I do that myself sometimes. So it's something I've been focusing on more recently as well, is making sure I'm not letting that fiber piece go. Because while a lot of us think fiber is good for digestion, of course it is, very few people, I think, realize just how important it is for hormone health, for the balance of estrogen in our body, and how sort of healthily or optimally we clear our used estrogen out of the body. For gut health as a whole, yes, it helps to form add bulk to our stools and keep us regular, but also gut health as a whole, which we'll talk about. It supports inflammation, helping to reduce it, keep it at bay. It supports blood sugar balance. It supports detoxification of, like I said, estrogen, but also other things. It supports cholesterol levels, healthy cholesterol levels. It supports long-term disease prevention and so much more. And so this is why I really wanted to create this episode today. And this is where a term that you may have heard of, called the fiber gap, comes in. So recent UK data research shows that around 3-4% of people are actually hitting the recommended daily fiber intake of 30 grams a day, which means that the vast majority of people are eating far less fiber than their body really needs. And when you think about the way many of us eat now, like I said a minute ago, we can be in a rush, we can be overwhelmed, we just don't have the time, we don't have the headspace. It's not surprising that this can be the one that falls to the side. We're busy. We're relying more as well on convenience foods. A lot of women are afraid of carbohydrates, and that's where some high fiber foods can be. Many women are skipping meals, waiting until 11 o'clock to eat, and then just having two meals a day. And sometimes we end up building meals, like I said, for myself, around protein alone. And that can even be things like, we're just in so much of a rush that we grab a protein bar, snack foods with some protein in, but very little thought going into the diversity of the plants that we take in and fiber that we get from those. So today I wanted to have a simple, practical conversation about why fiber matters so much, particularly in perimenopause, and some simple ways to increase it without becoming obsessive or overwhelmed, just having another thing, yet another thing to think about on the wellness list. Because it's not about eating perfectly. It never is. This is real life. It's about understanding that some of the most powerful things for our health are often the foundations, not the flashy wellness trends, the fancy greens powders and collagen powders, but actually some really simple things that we can simply do at home, easily and less costly as well. So first of all, what actually is fiber? So fiber is the part of the plant, of plant foods, that we can't properly digest or absorb. And because of that, it plays some really important roles in the body. So yes, it helps support healthy, regular bowel movements. That's the part that most people know fiber for. But fiber also helps to feed our beneficial gut bacteria. So the fiber that we eat, it breaks down in the gut and into a particular sort of substance that our friendly gut bacteria really love to eat and continue to thrive on. It supports healthy cholesterol levels. So if we are concerned about, you know, the doctor's told us potentially our cholesterol levels are too high, that's specifically the LDL cholesterol, then looking at fiber is definitely the first place to start. Fiber stabilizes blood sugar levels. So like, while I always go on about how important protein is for stabilizing blood sugar first thing in the morning or with every meal and so on, fiber is a part of that picture as well. Fiber supports our feeling of fullness and satiety after our meals, as I also said about protein. It helps to, like I said, reduce inflammation. It supports our long-term gut and metabolic health overall. So one of the things I think is really important to understand is that our gut bacteria literally thrive on fiber. And fiber is essentially food for the microbiome. And then we have to consider that as we move further through our 40s and life into life post-menopause, the gut microbiome is changing. It's one of the you know, characteristics of the change in hormones in perimenopause and the loss of them at menopause. And so if fiber is food for our microbiome, that friendly bacteria, then we definitely want to be eating enough of it, because when we don't eat enough of it, those beneficial bacteria, they'll just struggle even more than they already are in a time of life when we need it the most. And then why else does it matter so much in perimenopause? So one of the biggest reasons is hormone detoxification. So I mentioned it earlier, particularly about estrogen. Our bodies are designed to metabolize, which is basically break down and remove hormones that we no longer need. So after we use our hormones, they must leave the body. And fiber plays a really important role in helping that process happen efficiently. So very simply put, fiber helps bind to excess estrogen. So not so much excess estrogen, I'm going to rephrase that and say used estrogen. So once we use that estrogen molecule, that's in the system, goes into the bowel, and the fiber helps to bind to it so it can be properly eliminated from the body. So it goes through a process of metabolism within the liver. I've done an episode all about this. And then once the liver has processed, metabolized, broken down this used estrogen, it sends it to the gut. Without enough fiber, without those daily, healthy, fully formed bowel movements, some of that estrogen can actually be reabsorbed and then recirculated into the body. And this is where gut health becomes incredibly important too. You may have heard of the term estrobolone before. I have touched on it in previous episodes. But if you haven't, don't worry, because it sounds far more complicated than it actually is. The estrobolome basically refers to the collection of gut bacteria involved in processing and regulating your estrogen. So the health of our gut microbiome, the family of all the different bacteria that live in the gut, can influence how effectively our body can metabolize and break down and eliminate those used hormones, those used estrogens. And this becomes especially relevant in perimenopause, when hormones are already fluctuating, estrogens already on a roller coaster. It's really high 1 minute and then low the next. And many women are dealing with symptoms like bloating, heavier periods, water retention, breast tenderness and pain, more PMS, inflammation, digestive changes. Now, I want to be really clear here. Fiber is not a miracle cure. It's not going to suddenly fix every hormone symptom overnight. But it is one of those foundational pieces that helps support the body to function the way it's designed to. And honestly, I think that's what gets missed a lot within wellness culture. We're constantly looking for the next shiny, beautiful looking supplement or magic fix, when sometimes the basics are the most powerful place to start. You know, having that, you know, increasing protein with breakfast. When people talk about collagen, which collagen shall I get, and so on. I've done a previous episode on my thoughts on collagen supplementation. You know, not for the good or not for yes or no, just my thoughts on it. But sometimes these, you know, really expensive supplements, the simplest thing to do, for example, when we want to make sure we have enough collagen or start to support our collagen production, is to make sure we're getting enough protein in, you know, really starting there before we go and spend all this money on a collagen powder subscription. And fiber is absolutely as well one of those basics. And not all fiber does exactly the same job though. Because again, there's other fancy fiber supplements out there as well, which maybe you're not being marketed, isn't being marketed to you because it doesn't look as shiny, you know, as magic fixy as some of the other stuff. But it is important, or helpful, I should say, to understand the different types. But I'll keep it really simple because you don't need to know the ins and outs, but you might have heard of soluble and insoluble fiber before. So very simply put, soluble fiber helps to form a gel-like substance in the gut, and can support things like cholesterol balance, blood sugar stability, and satiety after your meal. Whereas insoluble fiber adds bulk to our stools and helps to keep things moving through the digestive system. So they're both just as important. And most whole plant foods contain a mixture of both, which is why the variety of fiber foods that we're getting matters more than trying to obsess over fiber supplements or specific numbers. You know, have I hit 30 grams? It's really, I mean, I have never measured my protein in my life. My fiber in my life. I'm not one of those people that tracks. The only thing I really do track in my head now, because I can just do it like that easily over the years, is my protein intake. But I know that I'm eating enough fiber because I get, you know, a hell of a lot of fiber into my days now, and I've allowed that to become really simple, sort of second nature. Rather than focusing on getting some sort of app to help you track your fiber, it's just about thinking, how can I get a variety of different plant foods into my day, into my week, so that I'm making sure I'm getting that mixture of insoluble and soluble instead of obsessing over which is what, you know. So yeah, fiber is incredibly important for long-term health as well. You know, we've looked at the sort of hormonal side of it, but long-term health, research is consistently showing that higher fiber intake is associated with lower risk of cardiovascular disease, probably because of its good work with cholesterol levels, for type 2 diabetes, reducing that risk, and colorectal cancer. You know, these are things that we definitely want to be guarding ourselves against as much as we can. For our future. And something as simple and low cost to consider, you know, as fiber is a huge part of that. And again, it's not about perfection or fear. It's simply about recognizing that the foods naturally rich in fiber, things like vegetables, all your different colors and types of vegetables, beans, lentils, oats, nuts, particularly the nuts with skin on, like almonds, walnuts, seeds, pumpkin, sunflower, chia, flax, sesame, and then berries, whether they're frozen or fresh, and whole grains like quinoa, brown rice, buckwheat, and so on. They tend to support so many aspects of health simultaneously. And I think if we can sort of focus on these foods as part of our day-to-day life, it can become and does become very simple to just have these in. And many of the ultra processed foods that dominate modern diets are naturally very low in fiber. Again, when I hear people say that they eat, you know, they rely on protein bars for their protein, or just more sort of convenience type stuff, even though they're supposed, you know, in the healthy aisles, it's about really looking like how much fiber is in these things. Very, very little. So when fiber intake is low, it's usually a sign that overall dietary quality of fiber could use a little more support as well. Now, if you're listening to this thinking, honestly, I probably don't eat enough fiber, then please don't panic. Most people don't. It's very, very simple it's very easy to just lose sight of something like fiber in the quest for all the other things we're trying to get in. So this isn't about suddenly trying to, you know, hit higher levels of fiber by tomorrow and eating a mountain of lentils overnight and shoving a whole load of oats in your smoothie. It's about increasing gradually and gently, because if we go too quickly, if we're kind of going from really low levels to now optimal higher levels, it can actually make bloating and discomfort worse. So do it gradually and gently. Or if you think, well, I do eat good amounts of fiber, but I know I could have a little bit more, then just some simple things to increase that. But one of the easiest ways to approach this is simply just focusing on adding more plant foods into your meals consistently. And like I said, in the list, I'll go over that again in a minute. It's not just about plant foods as in vegetables. It's things like berries to your breakfasts, like I said, frozen or fresh, adding chia seeds and or flax seed, but ideally grinding them first. We can add whole chia seeds to things like yogurt, and we can leave it overnight, or overnight oats. We can leave it overnight, and that would add bulk to the, you know, you've probably seen that where with chia puddings where they sort of swell into like a mousse. That is going to be helpful in a different way to grinding the chia seeds. So maybe you could do both. I tend to grind my chia seeds and flax seeds myself. I buy them whole. I grind them at home with my little grinder on the NutriBullet. And I store a mix of chia and flax seeds in an airtight container. And I use a couple of tablespoons in my smoothie once a day, or I sprinkle them over a meal later when we have curry or something, because you can't taste it. It could be adding more beans or lentils into your meals, or I always do a vegetable, a kind of sort of steam fry of vegetables, literally every evening for the most part, depending on what we're having. And in there, I'll just include, you know, half a tin of lentils or half a tin of chickpeas into that as well. Adding an extra portion of vegetables at dinner or at lunch, like I've been doing recently. I've started to realize that my lunches are just too rushed and too quick and too, you know, because I'm just feeling a bit like I just don't have the space for it. But I'm just allowing that extra 5 minutes to put together a colorful salad to go with my vegetables, to go with my lunch. Swapping to oats or whole grains if you're relying on, you know, white flour products or white rice, for example, or pastas and spaghettis, switching those over to, you can get whole grain alternatives. So you can get spaghetti and pasta made from lentils or pea or brown rice or buckwheat, for example. So you don't necessarily have to lose those foods, but you can just switch over to the whole grain flour alternative. You can look to use real good quality German rye bread or spelt bread if you still want to, you know, include some bread in your week, instead of regular commercial breads that are very low in fiber. You can add nuts and seeds into your snacks, into your salads. I always snack on almonds with the skin on or walnuts with the skin on and some dark chocolate. Add pumpkin, sunflower seeds into your salads, into your stir fries. It's a nice little crunch as well. And just aiming for more variety essentially across the week in terms of colours and types of the vegetables that you eat. You know, the reds, the oranges, the yellows, the purples, the dark green leafy vegetables, your cruciferous veg, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower and so on. And I actually think diversity is more helpful to focus on than obsessively counting grams. And don't forget hydration too. So as fiber intake increases, water matters as well, because we don't just want to start adding a load more fiber, but not hydrating our colon and helping to push that bulk, you know, the bulk that's been added to our stool, helping to push that through. So I think the takeaway from today's episode is fiber is not just about digestion. It's one of the most overlooked foundations of hormone health, gut health, long-term well-being, heart health, especially in perimenopause. And while protein absolutely deserves attention, I will always be going on about the importance of protein. We don't want fiber to become that forgotten nutrient in the process. You don't need to be perfect. You don't need to suddenly overhaul everything overnight. But these small, consistent shifts really do make a difference. And sometimes the simplest of habits, or most of the time, the simplest of habits are the ones that have the biggest impact over time. So thank you for listening. And if you have any questions as ever, please feel free to message me. You can drop me an email or you can drop me a DM on Instagram. And all of those details will be in the show notes for you. So I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode and you're wanting a bit more support, there's a few ways I can help you. You can take my free perimenopause quiz, join my Midlife Thrive membership, or work with me one-to-one. And I'll leave all the details in the show notes. And if this episode resonated, I'd love you to share it with someone who might need to hear it too. Thank you so much for being here. It really means a lot. And I'll see you in the next episode.